What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
At Designer Shoe Warehouse, we believe that shoes are an important part of, well,
everything. From first steps to first dates, from all-nighters to all-time personal bests.
From building pillow forts to building a life.
For all the big and small moments that make up your whole world, DSW is there. And we've got just the shoes. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love at brag-worthy prices at your DSW store or DSW.com.
I've been working with a nurse dietitian for the last 6 months, and it's been life-changing. I've lost weight, healed my relationship with food, and have way more energy. Working with a dietitian online to create a personalized nutrition plan was so easy thanks to Nourish. The best part? I pay $0 out of pocket because Nourish accepts hundreds of insurance plans. 94% of patients pay $0 out of pocket. Find your dietitian at usenourish.com. That's usenourish.com.
With talk of tariffs, prices, worker shortages, and consumer confidence swirling about, this could be an uncertain time for local businesses. Being there to help businesses through troubling times and good ones is no small matter. Well, this weekend, we're going to talk with the man now heading business affairs for the city of Chicago. Hello, I'm political editor Craig Delamore, and this is At Issue. My guest is Ivan Capifali. Less than a month ago, he was confirmed as commissioner of Chicago's Department of Business Affairs and Consumer Protection. But he's anything but new at the job. He was interim commissioner after his predecessor, Ken Meyer, resigned in October, and he was first deputy commissioner before that. He's had experience managing financial operations at BACP and business compliance, and he served in a couple of other big city agencies before that, so he's no doubt hitting the ground running. Ivan Capifali, welcome.
Thank you. Thank you for having me, Craig.
Well, it's good to be able to talk to you. Well, and let's start with the big picture. Outsiders will look at a current atmosphere of tariffs all around and talk of federal funding cuts from a consumer perspective. And you handle consumer issues as well. But what are you hearing from businesses across the city about the worries and the challenges facing them, whether it's tariffs or anything else these days?
Thank you for that question. I appreciate that. Let me answer it. Let's start talking about the tariff. This information just came out. It's still fresh. I know a lot of people are making their own assumptions. I would like to tell the audience right now, we have to wait this out. Let's see what happens. In the meantime, we have to continue to show up for our small business community here in Chicago. We cannot stop promoting our small businesses. It is important that we continue to go to our local shops, that we continue to shop locally, right? That we continue to budget for that one night out with the wife, with buying coffee from that small coffee shop. Because, I mean, Chicago does it better than anybody else, right? I mean, we look at in the eye of adversity and we just laugh at it and we continue. We're dealing with other challenges, right? We talk about, coming out of the pandemic, and I myself made it a point to stop comparing these days to the pandemic days, but I can't help myself but to, understand that there are some looming effects, right? And when I'm out on a personal level, promoting a business with my family, I like to speak to the owners and I like to hear from them, what's happening? What challenges are you still facing? And they all give me the same answer. It's the cost of doing business. It is still expensive. Inflation is an issue. The cost of materials and supplies continue to be a problem to people. Rent is a problem. We understand that. But at the same time, we know and we saw last year, and just citing some numbers that during some research that we recently conducted, the retail sales during this holiday season was 4% higher than in 2024. So even though it's not a huge number, there is improvement. And that's because people continue to be educated and knowing that if we stop spending, what's going to happen? So it's important that in our personal lives, as we budget our monthly numbers, that we leave a little bit of room so that we can actually spend in the Chicago economy. So other challenges, of course, that I hear, people have issues retaining good talent, right? People are leaving jobs and moving to other opportunities quicker than before. Accessing capital it's a pro it's another area that I hear a lot from business communities and business owners, but we like to connect. When I hear that, I like to promote a small business advocacy program, neighborhood business development centers that we have all throughout the city that provide that type of help, that type of help that prov that connect small business owners with lending institutions that are still offering great program seed money for aspiring entrepreneurs and business owners. Another thing that I hear is challenges in marketing when it comes to competition. There's a lot of business models out there. Everybody wants to make a buck. So it's people have issues with competing and standing out from the others. Another area that's of challenging is adapting to online shopping and finding that balance between buying locally, right? Buying at the store down the street from us and shopping online. And I understand the convenience of shopping online, especially when we all live very busy lives, but we have to find that balance between the two.
And I was going to ask though, when it comes to something like online, are enough businesses taking advantage of local online? In other words, that even stores that might be local, I've seen some will have an online presence. Even if it's, and I'm maybe more in the restaurant industry, but that there are ways to capture some of that without letting it go to some national entity.
So we when we license businesses here, right? When we and we and just to the Department of Business Affairs and Consumer Protection is we have many core functions. But one, the more that the function that sticks out that everybody knows us for is for being the licensing department. So when people come into our business center to talk to our business consultant always tells them that having an online presence is very important as part of your business model. So we promote that here. It's very rare to find a business that don't have a .com, right? Access. So I understand that there are some all legacy businesses that are still operating in different ways, but we like to promote an online presence every time we can.
You had mentioned that there were still some lingering effects from the pandemic. In what ways are you seeing that? Because we're 2 years down the road, maybe a little more, depending on how you're counting. And it's easy for us to forget that we went through that. I don't think we'll ever forget that we went through it, but think that there's still some things that are tugging at us.
It's the cost. It's it for we haven't been able to shake that off, right? Cost is a little higher than it was before, and it goes up, it goes down, or stays steady, but it's not back to pre-pandemic levels, or pre-pandemic prices. And also the talent, right? People are, since the pandemic, people are more comfortable with leaving a job and moving to from one job to another. And we see that here when we interview candidates and we review resumes, we see very short stints between between job experiences, right? 2 months here, 6 months there. So I think the pandemic actually created that effect.
And I think one thing that I've noticed is that for example restaurants are doing more in terms of protective protective gear PPI that we used to call it or PP whatever PPE and some of them are charging a service fee because of that, some of them adding more insurance for their employees. So, but that's all a growth or a residual effect, isn't it?
And I've seen, thanks for mentioning that, because I've seen other versions of that where on the menu it says send graces to our kitchen, and what they're asking for you is if you want to add an extra tip so that we can they can tip the people in the back that are cooking, the chefs and the kitchen help, staff. But it's not illegal to do that, right? I mean, it is. We understand as consumers, and that's why I always promote. And I tell the consumers, the community at large that is listening to the show, when you go out, I mean, budget for that. You know, it's going to cost you a little bit more this time around, but budget smart, intelligently when around that, because it's important we continue to promote our businesses. We have vibrant business corridors everywhere, and it's costly to operate. The life of a business owner is not easy. I mean, they have to keep up with the costs, they have to pay rent, they have to pay employees. And it's important that we, if we want to live in a city that continues to be vibrant as Chicago, we have to find ways to do it. So budgeting at a personal level and including, a night out once in a while is a good thing to do.
Yeah, and I know I've heard some people say, and I kind of subscribe to that theory myself that people a lot of people tip as if they had been service workers. In other words, when you realize that the person who brought your food to the table is not making a big salary, and you remember, yeah, if you ever did it, or if you ever knew anyone who did it. You tip a little more because you know what their lives are like.
I like to think, and I've heard this from a friend years ago, and he stuck. But they say good tipping brings good karma, so I like to tip well, and even if the service is not that perfect, I still try to tip, because I know that that person needs it. So everybody, cost of living is higher all around, and people need to have good wages. So I'm a big
And
proponent for that.
indeed, one of the things you mentioned, but I want to go a little bit deeper into it, is the neighborhood business development centers. Well, how is that working to help employ?
Thumbtack presents the ins and outs of caring for your home. Out, procrastination, putting it off, kicking the can down the road. In, plans and guides that make it easy to get home projects done. Out, carpet in the bathroom. Like, why? In, knowing what to do, when to do it, and who to hire. Start caring for your home with confidence. Download Thumbtack today.
Men, when was the last time you felt unstoppable? Low testosterone could be draining your energy, strength, and sex drive. At Beaumont Health and Wellness, we help men reclaim their power with hormone replacement therapy, weight loss, and IV hydration. Get peak performance with our $147 hormone replacement starter kit, including a private consultation, precision blood work, and a free B12 shot to fire up your system. Beaumont Health and Wellness. Age is just a number. Desire is forever. Call 913-261-9855 or book now at BeaumontHealthKS.com.
StreetEasy knows former New Yorkers never stop talking about how much they miss living in NYC.
Life used to feel like a movie. But since we left and bought a house, it's like living in a DIY home repair video.
When it's time to buy, let StreetEasy connect you with the right agent you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. StreetEasy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
Employers and businesses themselves and employees get through.
Of course. So it's part of our Small Business Advocacy Bureau. It's a program that has been in existence for a while. We just revamped it. And we, for the first time, the Neighborhood Business Development Center has... So it's a bridge between City Hall and the community. We have delegated agencies. So our neighborhood NBDCs, Neighborhood Development Centers, are delegated agencies at the community level, usually chambers of commerce, right? Most likely a chamber of commerce in the area that provides guidance. It provides technical assistance, and it helps with the creation of innovative programming so that those, and that's available at free of cost, free of charge, to existing businesses, new businesses, or entrepreneurs within a certain area that is looking to either improve their business model or opening a new business or expanding. So we have a few categories. We have a place-based category. We have a capital access category. And what they do is you can go to one of those neighborhood development centers with a question, and they'll help you connect through lending institutions. They help you with your business model. It's our way to support the small business community. A good business starts from at the community level. If we can provide people with assistance, they will come. We also have the Chicago Business Center. It's another version, and it's also another program that is housed in our Small Business Advocacy. There are 8 of them all over the city. So NBDCs, let me go back. We have 65 NBDCs all throughout the city, one in each ward. Some areas have more than one. And we did that very strategically because we want to ensure that all businesses, regardless of the location, have access to resources and support. Mm. The Chicago Business Centers, it's a place where you can go and start a business business license application and finish it here at BACP. They were created around COVID. We have 8 of them strategically placed all over the city, but 8 difference from the NBDCs. CBCs are 8, and you can start your license application there. And then when you come, once you start the application and you come to City Hall, you have everything that you need to do at hand, so that you don't waste time trying to get your application and you navigate that business licensing process quickly. And without wasting time.
You're listening to WBBM News Radio's At Issue. I'm Craig Delamore. My guest is Ivan Capifali, the commissioner of Chicago's Department of Business Affairs and Consumer Protection. And I want to follow up on that a little bit because there's been a lot of talk about streamlining red tape and, in the case of your agency, streamlining business licensing. The CBCs are obviously a part of that, but what are the hurdles that a CBC can help businesses clear? And what are some of the other things that can be done to help someone who wants to start a business?
Sure. Thank you for that question. It gives me an opportunity to highlight a lot of the stuff that we're accomplishing under Mayor Johnson's Cut the Tape initiative. So when Mayor Johnson took office in 23, we started identifying efficiencies that we were, by doing surveys and having roundtable discussions with the business communities and these chambers of commerce. People always say that the licensing process was a little difficult. It was full of bureaucracies and it was lengthy. We heard that very clearly, and then we started removing roadblocks. We looked at our website. Craig, you had to see our website prior to this. I mean, it looked like a Bible. It was so boring. I mean, it was just full of words all over the place. For the least resource business, a business that doesn't, a business owner that doesn't have a lot of time, sitting down and going through all of that to get to where you have to the apply button was just too much. So we got very creative. We worked with our IT department. We worked with our experts here at BACP that know about that stuff. And we were able to shrink and to make our website more intentional. It's very user-friendly. It's very streamlined. And it's more like a self-guide, right? So when you look at, if you say, Craig, you want to open a food truck with Mrs. Delamore food truck, and you're looking for information about what are the requirements of a food truck, you go to our website. It says food, right? Just a tile that says food. You click on there, you have all the information that you need to open a food truck before you make the investment, knowing that, you know, how much it's going to cost you, or give you an idea how much it's going to cost you to invest in a food truck. Prior to that, it was just a lot of information all over the place. And for a business owner that doesn't have a lot of time, little things like that are very important. So all of that, all of this streamlining, is all powered by Cut the Tape under the Mayor Johnson's administration. And that's just a small example of the things that we're doing. I'll give you another example. If you had a business that has to do with cars, and you need access, driveway access, prior to identifying some efficiencies in that area, you have to wait months for other departments to look at that application and okay whether you need a driveway permit or not. Well, having a driveway permit or not is not going to affect the quality of life of the neighborhood, right? We can check that later. So by making a simple change and moving that requirement at the end of the application process, so that license can print, saved a business owner that wants to open up a car dealership or a motor vehicle repair months of waiting.
Mm-hmm. I know one of the other things that we've heard complaints about over the years has been how much licenses cost. Has there been any changes or easing in any of that?
Our licensing cost is one of the lowest in the entire nation. A limited business license, for example, is your more basic license, is $250 for 2 years. So it's $125, per year for a license. A very, very small investment if you want to open a business. Once you start getting to the more regulated licenses, then they get more costly because there's more review. If you want to open a liquor store, right, or a bar, for example, or a tavern, it's a little more costly because there are other checks that we have to consider. And there are other departments that look at that. So licenses reflect the cost of the regulation and processing. But, we are one of the lowest in the entire nation when it comes to cost.
Yeah, well. I'm sure entrepreneurs are happy to hear that.
We invite all the entrepreneurs to come down to the 8th floor at City Hall and meet with one of our business consultants for free. If you have a business model in mind, you've been thinking about that idea for a while and you have a location, I always tell people, see a business consultant before you sign a lease. Make sure that you know what if the zoning in that area is going to allow that business activity that you want to launch. So I would like to promote our business center here to everyone. City Hall, room 800. A lot of great professionals that are here to serve you. And another thing, the average wait time to be seen at the business center, which is another efficiency that we were able to work on, is 19 minutes. And you can get online. You can get in line from your phone. So you can go to our website and get in line from your phone, and you can see how long it's going to. It's, you know, as you move up the line, you can see, you can track that on your app, and it's just available to you. And this is big. It's a big deal because, again, like I said, for a business owner that's in a hurry, it saves time, and for them, time is money.
And let's go back to the idea of food and business, and maybe it's not just business. Department is also engaged in food equity programs. What does that mean, and what does it do?
So yeah, so we have two programs that are were created and as part of Mayor Johnson's vision to close the gap of food inaccessibility and to promote healthy foods in disadvantaged neighborhoods. So the Community Growers Program is still going. It's a partnership between an organization called Neighboring Space, BACP, and Department of Planning. Department of Planning, because this program is focused on vacant lots that can be used for urban farming. So we're promoting urban farming. This program it's amazing. Chai Block Builder just launched. So applications will be rolling out for the Community Growers Program. You can find more information about that at Chicago, cityofchicago.gov/BACP. Then we have the Good Food Fund Program. That program was amazing. Unfortunately, it ended because it was ARPA funded. So we all know what happened with some of the ARPA funds. So we're closing the last round of Good Food Fund. I think we selected over 141 businesses that received coaching, received grants, and received loans in the area in the food areas of production, distribution, processing, and retail. And again, that was another way to promote healthy foods and to promote local economies and just have people invest in their businesses, do remodelings, you know, things like that, to continue to have these amazing businesses that we like to visit.
This is sort of, because we're talking about growing things, that just reminded me of something. Do you know what the status is of Chicago's efforts to regulate hemp products? Because I know the BACP was involved in that.
Yes, we are. We're very glad to be at the table, but the discussions are still ongoing. I don't have a lot of information about that. There's a lot of conversations, but yes, I can confirm that we are at the table during those conversations.
Okay, and does that table also include people at the state level, or is this mostly local and the people on really two or three sides of this?
BACP has been involved in the local conversations.
Okay. And the other thing I wanted to touch on is, you know, we've been talking almost exclusively about businesses here. What is going on in the realm of consumer protection? And I know obviously you guys are involved in that too.
Consumer protection, it's another core function of BACP. You've been around for a long time, right? Covering politics and City Hall. You know that BACP is a merge of a lot of different departments and functions. And some of those functions were departments, in the past. So consumer services became part of what is BACP. So a lot of that we do is consumer protection. We have an enforcement team their function is to respond to consumer fraud complaints. It's our number one complaint. If you look at the type codes from 311, consumer frauds complaints are the number one complaint. And within that type code, your number one is remodeling, construction, you know, when you hire a contractor to come to your house. So I also want to take this opportunity to tell the audience that they need to make sure that they read those contracts. Do not give money to somebody without a contract, without reading the terms of that contract. Senior citizens, be aware also of those phone calls. When you get a phone call from somebody asking you for money, just be aware. Those are very hard to prove and to actually get that money back. But we do have, and thank you for that question, we do have a very robust consumer fraud program. We work very closely with elected officials, aldermen, you know, members of city council, you know, that that field those complaints to us. So also, I like to promote that those offices. If you're close to your alderman, you can use that service to connect to the ACP.
And I think we probably would be remiss if we didn't remind people that there's a lot of information that BACP has online. You also do webinars and the like. So where do people go to look for that?
So cityofchicago.gov/BACP webinars is something that we, this is one of our product enjoy programs. Twice a week, Wednesdays and Fridays, different topics. They are also recorded, available on a YouTube channel. So if you want to, you know, if you have a little bit of time, and I'm telling this to the audience, go back to our website, go to our YouTube channel, look at the topics that we have on their webinars, and you know, listen to one of them. Another thing that I would like to highlight are our expos. I mentioned them at the beginning. We just launched our first one for 2025. It was remote with over 1,000 people in attendance. And our next one is going to be in May. May 31st is going to be our next one at Kennedy Key College. An amazing time. We bring a lot of partners, information. We have a networking hour for businesses to connect with each other. We bring in a keynote speaker to tell us their story, and it's just a great time to connect, and they're becoming more and more attended.
Well, and we're going to look forward to that, and we'll also end our conversation on that. Ivan Capifale, thank you very much. He is the Commissioner of Chicago's Department of Business Affairs and Consumer Protection. Thank you so much for spending the half hour with us. To our listeners, if you'd like a copy of this program or just to hear it again, please visit our website. That's WBBMNewsRadio.com. There's a link on the homepage. You can also find our podcasts on Odyssey.com. We'll be back next week with another edition of At Issue, and I hope you'll be listening. Until then, I'm Craig Delamore, News Radio 105.9 WBBM.
Some people follow the rules, but where's the fun in that? I'm Soraya, and this is Rule Breakers, the podcast where we celebrate the rebels, the risk takers, and the ones who make their own way. Every week, I sit down with the boldest voices in sports, entertainment, and beyond to talk about breaking barriers, defying expectations, and rewriting the rules. No limits, no apologies, just real talk. Follow and listen to Rule Breakers with Soraya, an Odyssey podcast, available now for free on the Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.